I want to discuss tonight two interconnected topics at the nexus of the two topics we've been learning for the last couple of months. Yared Lomnus, Hasagas Gvul on the one hand, and Anim Hapech Bacharara on the other. They're roughly two separate sugyas. We learned the siman of Yared Lomnus previously, learning the siman of Anim Hapech now. But we've seen here and there, we have seen that there is some overlap. And tonight I want to focus on two areas where the poskim discuss the intersection of these two concepts. The first, as I mentioned earlier this week, the Rabbeinu Tam Shita is, of course, this is the fundamental doctrine in Ani Mahapech, is that it does not apply to Metzia and Hefker. Anytime the fought over deal or asset or piece of property is Metzia v'Hefker, Rabbeinu Tam says Ani Mahapech does not apply. And as we've seen, this is extended by the poskim well beyond literal Metzia v'Hefker. It's extended to cases where there's something unique about the deal. Many poskim say a shidduch is like Hefker because you can't find someone similar to the one you want. Some poskim say if it's bezol, if it's cheaper, it's like Metzia v'Hefker. So Tosa says that a Rebbe, for your kid, I could say I want dafka this Rebbe because I can't find a Rebbe who is equally talented and equally suitable. So that's a Rebbeinu Tam Shita. Rebbeinu Tam has certain rayas, technical rayas to this idea. Rishonim asked, Bali Tosfos and other Rishonim ask various questions on Rebbeinu Tam. And because of those questions, they're forced to carve out certain major exceptions to Rebbeinu Tam Shita. One of them we discussed earlier in the week. That is the idea of tircha, that if the first person has exerted substantial tircha working on the property, you're not supposed to interfere. We discussed there are different levels of tircha. There's the kind of tircha of climbing a tree. There's risk to life and limb. There's bodily tircha. There's financial tircha. We discussed different shitas about what level of tircha you need. That was one exception carved out from Rabbeinu Tam's general kula by the Rishon. Tonight, we'll discuss the second major exception to Rabbeinu Tam's rule. That is umnasa b'kach. If that's the first person's profession, then the matter is much more serious. This was first proposed by the Balei Tosfos, both Tosfos and Kedushin on the sugya, as well as Tosfos in Bava Basra on our other sugya of Yared Lomnus. Tosfos asked the kashya in Rabbeinu Tam. He said, in the sugya of Yared Lomnus, it says, marchikim mitzudas hadag min hadag, if one fisherman tosses out a net, the other fisherman can't put his nearby, he can't steal those fish. Why? According to Rabbeinu Tam, fish are hefker. It's mutter to take hefker, there's no ani mahapech, so why are we strict about the fish? Why are we stringent over there? The Tosfos in both places, Bava Basra and Kedushin says, it's like Yared Lomnus. It's worse than regular ani mahapech, because that is Yared Lomnus, umnasa b'kach. Tosfos in Kedushin says, hasam hayin tam peshu Yared Lomnus, like Bar Mavua, who wants to build a rechayim that another person wanted to do. Tosin Bava Basra says the same thing. And Daf Chaf Aleph, Tosin says, Umnasa b'kach, that's it. They're more tersely, Umnasa b'kach. Now, in both places, Tosin does give other terutzim. He gives another teretz in Layach Barher, he gives another teretz in Kedushin. Ryan has another teretz, but nevertheless, many poskim, probably most poskim, have assumed that this is lahalacha, that this is a halacha lemaisa, an important exception from the kula of Rabbeinu Tam, that any time it's umnasa b'kach, even though it's hefker, it is still aser. The first of the later poskim to say this was the Marik. We discussed the Marik's tshuva a little bit on Monday. The Marik was dealing with the competition over a bank franchise. There was only the ability to get one banker, regulatory questions, permission from the government, and there was an incumbent who had spent a lot of time and effort and money getting his thing set up, and someone else tried to snatch it away from him at the last minute. So the Marik ruled in favor of the incumbent for numerous reasons. One of them, as we discussed Monday, was the tircha the first person had put in, as we discussed earlier. Another reason, though, is Marik says there's umnasa b'kach. Tosfos says that another exception to Rabbeinu Tam's kula is umnasa b'kach. Anytime you're dealing with somebody's livelihood, were much more stringent. And here also, the bank was his profession. So the dispensation of Hefker does not apply. Marik says, even though Tosfos has multiple terutzim, this teret stands on its own. This is lahalacha. So Marik paskined like this teretz and indeed said that the heter of taking away hefker from somebody else does not apply when it is umnasu b'kach. And this was picked up by many, many other poskim, most famously the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer actually was building on a Maharit. The Maharit was in the Piskei Tshuva, beginning of our Siman. Marit asked, the Marit actually was not writing Lahalacha. This is in the Chidushi Marit, in his commentary to the Gemara, not in his more famous Tshuvas. But the Marit wanted to know what was the source of Chazal that Ani Mahapin Pacharara is Nikra Rasha. What is the base of such a thing? He says, someone who doesn't listen to Chazal is bad. He's an Avarian, we can call him a sinner, but Rasha sounds like a particularly severe pejorative term. So where does that come from? What's the special Isser involved that makes you a Rasha? So the Marik brought a Gemara in Sanhedrin that we discussed a couple of months ago when we began learning Yared Lomnus. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says it's Eishes Re'eu Lo Timeth, which literally means a person is a tzaddik if he has not defiled his friend's wife. The Gemara says, interprets this non-literally and says that it means Shelo Yared Lomnus Chaveiro. He hasn't violated the rules of interfering with someone else's business. And that, the Gemara says, Tzidkas Tzaddik Olav Tiyev, Rishas Arasha Olav Tiyev, that someone who doesn't listen to Chazal's exhortation here, the Pasuk's exhortation, is called a Rasha. So that's Yared Lomnus. What does that have to do with Ani Mahapech? So the Marit says, Marit is working within the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, that normally Ani Mahapech does not apply to Hefker, and he wants to learn that Yared Lomnus over there is talking about when it's Hefker. So on the one hand, regular Ani Mahapech would not apply, but on the other hand, it is his Parnasa. And he says this idea of Tosfos, that Yared Lomnus removes the heter of Hefker. Hefker normally makes Ani Mahapech mutter. The fact that it's Yared Lomnaso, that's his Parnasa, rolls that back and makes it Asur again. So you end up with something of roughly the same seriousness as ordinary Ani Mahapech, which is not Hefker and not his Parnasa. Marit makes an equation. He says, regular Ani Mahapech is not Hefker, but not Amnasa B'kach. When you have the offsetting factor of Hefker, when you have the factor of Hefker, it's Mutter, but when you have the offsetting factor of Umnasu B'kach, then it's Asur again. So the Marit already said this thing, that Umnasu B'kach, interfering with someone's livelihood, is Asur, even though it's Hefker. Himself goes with that. Many other Achorim go with this also. It's not brought on Shulchan Aruch. But many of the Poskim do say that a very important exception to Rabbeinu Tam's general rule that Hefker is Mutter is if it is his Umnas. Now, there is at least one dissenting view. That is the Tshuva's Beis Shlomo, Rav Shlomo of Skolia, late 19th century. He was debating another Tshuva of Rav, I think it was Yisrael Aaron Ettinger, the Maria Ettinger. Shalos Tshuva's Maria. They were both dealing with the same case. I do not understand the case. The case involves long 10-15 letter European words. I don't know the exact industry they were dealing with. A purlong is not 15 letters, but a purlong and a trepanic and something else. I don't understand what was happening in the case there. But basically, it was a sort of Yared Lomnus case. And somebody had invested a lot of time and money in getting some license or some right from the government. Someone else wanted to come and freeload off his work and just take over and drastically cut into his business. So the Maria Halevi of Ettinger and the Beis Shlomo of Shlomo Grimmer of Skolia, both of them assert, but not quite for the same reasons. One reason they both agreed on was Tircha. As we said earlier, the first person had already invested a great deal of Tircha, and it wasn't fair for the second one to come along and just snatch it away from him. But the other question, the question of Umnasu B'kach, this was the first person's livelihood, that they actually disagreed on. Maria Halevi, following the tradition of the Achronim, assume that this idea of Tosfos is lahalacha, and that even though this franchise or this business was something that would be considered hefker, it wasn't easily acquirable anywhere else. It was a unique right, a unique monopoly or license the government granted, and would have had the status of hefker. Nevertheless, it's usur both because of tircha as well as because of umnasu b'kach. Because when you're stealing away someone's livelihood, that's usur even though it's hefker. So that was the penina of the Maria Halevi. Beis Shlomo disagreed. Beis Shlomo said, we don't paskin like that Tosfos. It's not, he said lahalacha, there's no such exception to Rabbeinu Tam. He says, Tosis, when Tosis asked this question of fish, Tosis asked Rabbeinu Tam, why is the fish usur? It's hefker. Tosis made up this thing because it's umnasu b'kach. Says the Beis Shlomo, we know the maskana of the Gemara. The maskana of the Gemara is, why is fish usur? Because of Yoav Saira. The fish do this thing called Yav Saira. And as we discussed at some length in earlier weeks, the Rishonim have at least four different Pshatim and what Yav Saira is. Rashi says that he's tracking this fish and he's Batuach and he planted the food in exactly the right place. He knows he's going to get it. Rimigash says that that's worse because you're totally destroying his livelihood. You're shutting him down entirely. There are different Pshatim in what the special case of Yav Saira is. But in general, it is mutter to put down a net next to someone else's fish. So according to the Maskana of the Gemara, Tosis has no kasha and remainu tam. The fish case is different for specific reasons. And there's no need to machadish a new doctrine of shani hasam dumnasa bakash. There's no need to introduce a new chumra and remainu tam that stealing away someone's livelihood is different. So la halacha, the Beis Shlomo says, there is no such thing that even if you're interfering with his livelihood, it's still mutter as long as it is hefker. So most poskim, most achronim say there is such a chumra that you're not allowed to interfere with someone's livelihood, even if it is hefker. And Beis Shlomo disagrees. Moving now to a related topic at the intersection of Yorid Le'umnus and Ani Mahapech, let's discuss a fundamental question.
Does any of this violate the Ahavta L'Rech Kamocha?
That's a good question. As we discussed in the introduction kind of to these topics, there are poskim who say, based on another Gemara and Makkos, that he has not done evil to his friend, and many poskim learn that even in cases that are not strictly asur because of ani mahapech or yard lomnus, there is a midas chasidus not to do things to injure your friend's livelihood, to injure his prospects. And as you said, you wouldn't like it if he did it to you. And there are many poskim who either formally take an attitude of midas chasidus that you should stay away even when it's not strictly asur. And informally, poskim, there are many poskim who come down very stringently in these halachas because it's just not right, even if it's not technically something forbidden by the Gemara. So yes, there is such a thing that even things which are not strictly forbidden by the formal rules of the Gemara, we have that all over Chashon Mishpat. Maybe we'll discuss that sometimes, the idea of the Mishur Sadin. But yes, and here too, I definitely think there are poskim who would apply that kind of rule of Aflarecha Kamocha. Let's just discuss one more question, which is the basic question of Yarid Lomnus. We know there are two shittas in the Gemara. Rav Huna initially said, you're not allowed to put down chanus b'tzad chanus. You can't open a competing business. We don't paskin like that. We paskin that in general, it is permitted. Free competition is the rule of the day. In general, it is permitted to open up a competing establishment unless you're from another city or certain other exceptional situations. But in general, it's permitted to open up a competing shop. What happened to Ani Mahapech? Why is there no isser of Ani Mahapech to open up a shop? You customers were coming to you. When I open my doors, I get those customers. Why is there no isser of Ani Mahapech? So there are a number of terutzim, a number of similar terutzim given to this. The first one to ask this was Rabbeinu Yonah in Aliyas Rabbeinu Yonah Bava Basra. Rabbeinu Yonah says, why is it permitted to open up a competing business? Why does that not violate Ani Mahapech? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, because when it comes to the charara, the bread, I can go somewhere else. I can go down the block and buy a different loaf of bread. You're working on this bread, I'll buy bread somewhere else. Here he says, I have no place suitable to open but here, or somewhere in the city, which anywhere I open competes with you. Go to another town is obviously very inconvenient for me. He says, there's no place that's as suitable to open as here in this city, or that the profit is better over here. And Ani Mahapech only applies to Metzia and Hefker. Ani Mahapech does not apply to Metzia and Hefker. Ani Mahapech only applies where there's no reason for me to prefer this one to that one. I'm paying money for it anyway, so I can go pay money somewhere else. But if it's Hefker, and I can't get it somewhere else, it's Mutter. So here also, opening a business, there's no other suitable way for me to do it. So obviously, Rabbeinu Yonah is basing his answer to this question on the fact that he holds like Rabbeinu Tam, that Metzia of a Hefker is Mutter. And opening a business, he says, as opposed to not opening the business, as opposed to commuting 2 hours away, is like Metzia v'Hefker. And the Marsham, the Mishpat Shalom that we saw this week, the Marsham indeed says, brings Machlokes Achronim, whether the fact that I would have to exert a fair amount of tircha to move my business somewhere else, like in the case of the Marik, where if I don't have my banking business here, I open in a different city, that would be tircha. The Marshal says, you know, you're not mechuyev to undergo that kind of tircha, because that Rebbeinu Tam says, anytime I stand to lose, Metzia v'Hefker, and not mechuyev to. Other achronim disagree and say you are mechuyev to undergo some tircha. That's not a heter to violate Ani Mahapech. Marsham says that what Rabbeinu Yonah is saying here pretty much seems to be that the whole heter to open up a business, the reason it's not Ani Mahapech is because it would be a tircha for me to go somewhere else. It's a riot to the lenient view, to the Marshal, that even if I could do it somewhere else, just it would be inconvenient, that itself is a heter. If you Rabbeinu Tam, that anything that I can't just do the same thing somewhere else is mutter, that's why opening up a competing shop does not violate Ani Mahapik. But obviously, Rashi has to have an answer to this question too. This is an answer for Rabbeinu Tam. How would Rashi answer this question? So Rav Ezra Batsri in his Dine Mamonos points this out, and he says that it's not really a kasha to begin with, even though Rabbeinu Yonah felt it was a kasha, but he says that it's pashut, it's not really a question, he says, because if I go after the harara itself, if I go after your customers, that's Ani Mahapik. Those are your customers, I'm taking them away. I'm not doing that. I'm simply opening up a store. Maybe I'm advertising, but I'm not directly chasing your customers. I open the store. That's mutter. And that's why Rashi would hold it's mutter. And Rabbi Batsri therefore says that it actually is usser. If you have steady customers, it actually is usser for me to go and attempt to convince those customers to come to my store. And he refers you to a ruling he gave on this topic in his Sefer Dine Mamonos, his encyclopedic work on Choshen Mishpat. He says, look there and you'll see the sources I provided. If you look there in Dine Mamonos, he doesn't actually provide a whole lot of sources. He provides exactly one source. And the one source, the tshuva he brings, Sefer called Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer, is really bringing the halacha we spend time on Yared Lomnos, the halacha of Marufya. Back when we learned Yared Lomnos, we learned the topic of Marufya. Marufya means a steady customer, a tailor or a banker who has a steady customer, a client who always borrows money from him or who always does his tailoring with him. So we saw there were different shittas there about whether it's permitted for another Jew to attempt to win those customers away to himself. The Ramah said, Yesh Osrim, Yesh Matirim, Yesh Donandin Marufya, Yesh Ein Donandin Marufya. So the one tshuva Rabbi Batsri brings for the idea that I can't steal your customers because of Ani Mahapik is basically one tshuva in an Acharon that brings the din of Marufya. That seems very strange because there are many, many other tshuvas that discuss Marufya, and many, many poskim say, Devar Chaim, others who say, we're not knowing din Marufya. The Ramah brings two deis, and the minhag they say is Tim Mekel. Some say the minhag is Tim Machmer, but it's a heavily discussed topic, and we show him in Acharonim why he jumps to one relatively obscure Acharon, and then paskin halacha l'maisa that you're not allowed to take away my customers is not very clear. In Shari Ezra, in his tshuvas, the case he was discussing was there was an established Rav who sold chametz, and he sold the chametz to the neighborhood, and he charged some fee or made some profit on that job. Some other rabbinic figure came into town as Rosh Shiva or Rosh Kolel. He wanted to sell chametz too. So Rabbi Batsri rules that he's allowed to sell chametz. He's allowed to open a competing chametz selling establishment. What he's not allowed to do is go after the customers of the people who are commonly patronizing the first Rav. He's not allowed to directly target them and say, come to me. He can, in his shul, he can make himself available to sell chametz, but he can't actively target the customers of the first Rav based on Ani Mahapik. And as we said, it seems to be a classic question of Marufya, which is a heavily discussed topic, of why exactly you would have to come, start pretending that there's no literature on this. I'm not pretending, but why he analyzes this kind of in the clear, I don't know. So one last point I want to make on this is the Avner Nezer also that we saw this week. Avner Nezer talks about a factory that wanted to open and steal away workers who were working in the one factory that already existed in town. Fabric, the word of Avner Nezer means factory, I think. I don't know what exactly the etymology of the word is, but from other tshuvas, in context, it seems to mean some kind of industrial operation, like a factory. Avner Nezer says it's mutter. He said it's mutter to open the factory, because that's like chanus b'tzad chanus. And he says, that's not a problem of Ani Mahapik. You're certainly allowed. So we saw it. Rabbeinu Yonah asked the question. Rabbi Ezra Batsri asked the question. But Avner Nezer takes for granted that you're allowed to open a chanus b'tzad chanus. And Gemara says, we pass it not like Rav Huna. You're allowed to open a competing factory. Once you do that, he says, you're also allowed to target the workers who exist, who are currently working for the first factory. First of all, he says, at the end, he says, it's like Metzia v'Hefker, because they're trained. You can't find similarly skilled workers elsewhere. But additionally, he says, you're allowed to actually target the workers, because Ani Mahapik only applies to someone who has a firm deal, someone who's already committed elsewhere. These workers are not committed anywhere. He says, up till now, that was the only factory in town, so of course they work there. Now you open, maybe they'll come to you. We don't know what the workers are going to do. So these workers are really up in the air. Even if for the last 10 years they worked for the first factory, now that you're open, maybe they'll decide they like you better. And once the workers are up in the air, they're not committed, you can actually go and say, maybe you want to come work in my factory. It sounds like, according to Avner Nezer, once you've been open for a year or two and some workers have stayed with the first factory, they've made a decision, they like where they're working, they're not moving, it would actually be awesome for you to go then to the workers and say, come to me. As Tosha said, you're not allowed to steal workers from somebody else, except a Malamed maybe, because you could say he's unique, which the Avner Nezer's other svara is, the workers are skilled and you can't find skilled workers anywhere else. But Avner Nezer's first svara, that the workers are considered not committed because just because they worked there for the last 10 years, that's only because there was no other game in town. Now you don't know where they're going to go. Once you do know where they're going to go, once you see that they're staying with the first factory, it would be usher for you to take them away. And that's really a shaila marufya also. Levinezer doesn't mention marufya, but his entire svara is that they're not really committed. They only went to the first guy because that was all there was, but they have no real commitment to him. So same thing with marufya, he says, ma'isim b'chol yom, a store has customers, a new store opens and attempts to convince customers to come to them. So again, that's mutter because the customer is not really committed to the first store. Just as long as the first store was the only one in town, they came to him, so now maybe they'll come to me, and now I can even ask them to come to me because we don't know what they want to do. But again, it would seem that once I've been open a year and some of the customers have stayed with the first store, they seem to be happy there. Even though my store exists, they've made the decision actively or passively by inertia to stay with the first guy. At this point, it would be also for me to attempt to tell the customers to come to me, as Rabbi Batri says, because it's ani mahapech, possibly, and because it would be a shalach marufya, as we saw. We might be making a marufya, but again, we see Rabbi Yonah asks why competing stores is not ani mahapech. And it's not entirely clear. One of the terutzim is because I'm osi b'toch shali, because I'm not directly approaching. If I directly approach, there might be a shalach ani mahapech and the related problem of marufya.